Hello and welcome into another episode of Podcast 63. It is season 6, episode 10, and we are in the postseason. Whether or not the tournament we made was the ultimate goal, either way, it's still extremely exciting that this group gets to play some postseason basketball. We are no stranger to the NIT tournament, so we will be talking about the NIT tournament. We'll also break down the A10 tournament in Brooklyn. We have a firsthand account of being there, so we'll have Lou talk about that in some detail. Some good stuff too, some fun stuff, some obviously not a fun result, but I think it'll be interesting nonetheless. So Lou, how are you doing post Brooklyn and getting back and seeing our Ramblers are going to be playing in the postseason?
Yeah, I think as much as it ended early in Brooklyn, there was plenty of sleep in Brooklyn because we didn't have to stay up, though that game nearly kept me up, which we'll talk about. But yeah, no, again, an exciting time. There was a lot of hype around it. I appreciated the fandom toward it. Wish we kind of got to see another game about it, even though, again, we nearly saw two games. But again, overall, really excited for how the season has not officially ended. Again, we have one more game. I think it's always great for a team to play another game, but I think particularly this team that ended last season not on a great note to be flipping the page into a completely different setting is pretty great. So we'll look forward. Not really too happy about what happened behind, but we're looking forward to what might happen.
Definitely, yeah. So we will talk about all that and more when we get back. So stick with us, and don't forget, always remember, go Blurs.
He jumps, he passes out to Hunter. Hunter shoots, off the rim, Rouse gets it, scores. It's over, it's over. We won the ball game. Viola won the ball game. Oh, we won 60-58.
And we are back. So yeah, let's start off with the difficulty of talking about the A10 tournament. We talked last week about getting that double bye, which was, I'm pretty sure you could quote me when I said that this year was very important to get the double bye. That I think
you
I even said as far as
you
like,
sure? You sure?
You might be like, yeah, that it might be the most important year yet. And that was not the case. All four teams that got the double bye lost in the first round. Didn't even win a single game. 1-4, out like a light. So, I guess I was wrong. I can admit it. But our Ramblers tried everything they could to try to be the one to buck the trend and get a win as a top four seed in that second round. Or, I don't even know, third round, I guess, technically. But unfortunately we weren't able to. We end up going to double overtime. There were some heroics by Phil Alston, again trying his very best to do everything he could to will a win. Other than that, some nice buckets by Dame as well down the stretch, hit some important free throws, and ended with a double-double. But yeah, overall, just a very just heartbreaking loss, really. I think this season we were really hoping to, I think we talked last week about thinking getting to the championship game was a very realistic probability or possibility. And when you fall short, it's just really tough. So, but Lou, why don't you break it down? Either you can start with the game or you can start with like all the other stuff and how your experience at Barclays was and what went along with all that.
Yeah, no. So again, surprisingly, as a Knicks fan, Barclays treats us right, I have to say. I just as a heads up, I don't think this is official, but from people I was talking to, this will be the last year at Barclays for a little bit. Next year, I believe, is DC. I forgot to look it up to see if it was made official. But DC, I believe, will be next year's tournament. So I kind of like took it in a little bit. For those who don't know, we last year received media credentials for the A10 tournament. Last year, we did have to kind of sneak our way down to get close to the goer. this year, we didn't. I don't know if it's because they realized how great of media we are. Or, of course, when you share the title for first place, maybe they treat that team's media a little bit better. So hats off to that. Again, no matter what, though, the staff there were great. And, yeah, overall, though, the experience is fun. Again, just really excited. And, again, like we said, all 1 through 4 teams didn't win. So to see that all just happen on the first day and the only day I was there was quite a treat, but also quite something crazy. And again, as we saw, it wasn't just our Ramblers. So, but yeah, talking about the game that never ended, it derailed my evening plans, which was fine. I was always going to sit in my seat for the Ramblers no matter what. But if any of you caught it on social media, we posted, we had a great seat courtside, media row number 1, which is fun to say. And yeah, we were right across from the bench. I was right there. I think you could say maybe 20 feet from Phil's heroic Herculean, however you want to say it, putback dunk, which still, I can't believe I saw it with my own two eyes that close, and also the fact that someone did that with their own two hands. But, yeah, again, I had multiple people reaching out. What a game, right? What a game. Was there definitely some things going into it? Yeah, it seems like we have, with this St. Bonaventure team, right, I don't think we'll have this a lot, maybe moving forward, maybe next year a little bit. I know Pride's gone. I forget if Adams Woods is a graduate or not, but it right away from the start was like, this is a rivalry. These two teams have a rivalry. And it was kind of interesting because like they had our number last time, and in the way the beginning started, Buck, it was looked like we had their number to start. And, yeah, Micah Adams Woods is a graduate senior, so he's gone. And so is, Charles Pride. So majority of the team, I don't know if we'll have that same team next year. So I think this was really interesting to see that, like, even though, they're seniors, it was kind of a bit of a rivalry, Buck. I don't know if you noticed that or, if you caught that again after the game we played there and the stuff that's off the court happening. It's kind of crazy to see that.
Yeah, it definitely was. You could tell. And I think I saw some tweets, too, that was like, all right, last time Drew Valentine talks about a player on the other team before the game. But, yeah, and in addition to that point you're making about their graduate transfer or graduate seniors or whatever, they also already have at least, like, 3 players in the portal. So
I did see that, yeah.
In addition to their seniors, yeah, that's definitely going to be a different St. Bonnie's going forward. But, yeah, continue. Go ahead.
No, so again, we're not gonna like hash out the game too much. I think the biggest thing to say is just not our second half, right? I think we played a great first half, cut it a little close, but again, this wasn't an easy one to talk about. I will say I almost predicted it. I predicted it right for the first half, and I said, for the first game, not OT, but I said this was gonna be around a 60-60 game. I literally said that. I was like, hey, this is going to be 60-60 most likely. It's kind of, I get that vibe. And what did it end up being at the end of the first game, or the two halves? 58-58. So kind of funny. I just said it kind of had that vibe. And again, the second half and pretty much everything after the first half, we just couldn't. Our defense was amazing. I'll just admit that. Our defense was what I know it could be. It just, our offense had a tough day. That's really what it was. Some turnovers here and there. I think to say some young players might have gotten maybe caught up with the bright lights, yes and no. I think sometimes they were trying to help out more than they could. But, yeah, overall, again, the team just didn't shoot well enough, particularly from three. From after the first half, we only made 1 3 the entire rest of the game. We went 1 for 11 after the first half. That doesn't help. That doesn't go anywhere. So it just wasn't our day from three. And maybe the free throw line could have got it. Again, there's so many little things. There's not just one thing. In a close game like this that is 1 point, I think there's a few things that you can analyze for sure. But again, I'm really proud with the defense. I think that was superb. I do think, again, these guys fought. That was a big thing, just to tie in the press conference. I asked both Phil what was it like not giving up. His simple answer, which I give him credit, he goes, the game wasn't over. Game's not over. Mm-hmm. He goes, we had each an OT1 and OT2. The game's not over. So he's pretty much kind of playing into the final whistle, right? The final buzzer. So I give credit there for sure. I think his toughness really showed. And again, shooting for over 50% from field goal, what a special thing. And again, 2 for 2 from three. It might be crazy to say, but that's not a Phil thing. Phil, I think, was shooting at around 25% for the year. So really great to see. I think just another highlight, Dame. And for those who don't know, Dame and Phil were the two players to come out and speak to the media. And again, those are the two players who kind of had their best games, right? Dame had a double-double. Have to give him credit. I loved his tenacity. Not maybe an amazing day from field goal. He's usually a little bit better. But again, you're competing against a big guy in Venning. And I'll even take a quote from the St. Bonaventure guys. They said, hey, in the post, it was a dogfight. It was like a football match, right? Like you were attacked. Mm-hmm. You were going in against each other. And I think that's really what it was. I watched Miles Rubin just play so great defensively up against Venning. And it just, again, it's kind of masterful. I'll be honest, Buck. I don't know. You're a little bit taller than me, right? I don't know how you feel. But to see two big guys kind of go blow for blow and be that close, I'll be honest with you, I did have a great seed for it. But it was kind of like, whoa, this is pretty cool. Like I feel like you don't see that as much in college basketball, or especially in the NBA. So I think that kind of made it special for sure. But no, those two guys for sure on the Rambler side put in a lot of effort. And again, they tried to do as much as they could to really keep the fight going. Anything on those two guys, Bucks? Again, we'll talk about their whole season, but just in this game in particular.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just to add on to your point about like one-on-one in the post. Yeah, it's so much fun. Like you just don't really see it too much anymore. And also it's like, I know you can go one-on-one like off the bounce, right? Like you see that all the time. But then like even if you blow by your guy, there's probably still help defense that's going to come and stop you. A lot of times when you're on the post and you're going one-on-one, like it truly is a one-on-one matchup. Like if you get beat, you're getting a layup. Like, and I loved watching Dame play this year, just with his moves in the post, because he doesn't look like he's going to be quick at all. And his spin moves, his footwork, whatever, was awesome to watch. And I hope Miles picked up on some of those little things. And I think he kind of did. I do remember, yeah, like I feel like at the end of the season, he was more than just like a pick and roll dunk threat. Like there were a couple of post hooks, so maybe he picked up a thing or two from Dame. But yeah, Phil, man, like that was pretty awesome just to see him go to work. And that answer is really cool. Like I respect the hell out of that answer. Just like the game's not done. Like it's just not even question it. And that's some blind faith in your team that like I think is a little bit lacking at times, and not at Loyola. I mean, just like in general, you know, you see some of these guys now like going in the portal before their team even plays in the tournament or whatever. Like I don't know. So I love Phil's been awesome to watch. Like I'm not planning on being done watching him anytime soon. I think our Ramblers still got like 5 games left or however many it is to win a championship in the NIT. But yeah, those two guys, good for them. I'm glad they got to be able to go to the podium afterwards. I'm sure they would have love to go after a win, but crazy game. Definitely one I think if we were on the other side, like we're saying, oh yeah, it's like one of our favorite games ever, you know, sort of thing. But yeah, unfortunately, just ball didn't bounce our way. A couple of important times.
Yeah, I'll take a quote. Shout out to my wife. She asked if the rim had a lid on it in the second half. It was a different hoop we were shooting at. So like, hey, but yeah, no, I would watch Sheldon, Dez, and Braden just to be upfront about it, right? They just did not have their games from three. 1 for 6, mm-hmm. 1 for 6, and 2 for 8. So again, just a very tough day from three for all three guys. Saying a lot of threes today, which is just not a normal thing, right? Usually one of them will have a good day. Two of them might have a below average day, right? But for all three guys not to really find it from three, it was a bit of a shocker, right? And let's be frank about it, right? when Phil hits two, you're like, okay, if Phil hits two for two, someone else must be going. It just wasn't their day, which was tough to see. So, but again, overall, love to see, of course. You got to talk about it. Assist to turnover ratio was 18 to 12. I'm loving that, right? I do think this Randler team played up. But one thing, Buck, I want to talk about was something that Drew highlighted was the young guys. And when I say young guys, particularly JQ, Jalen Quinn, what special moments he had. And it's so weird for someone to be like, what do you mean what special moments, when you look at his box score, right? Yes, his box score only shows one steal, 7 points, three assists, one rebound, 2 for 6 from field. Okay, yes, I get that. But to see a guy, in my opinion, who was edging on like starter minutes, six-man minutes, right, every game and almost changed, and then when with a healthy Jaden Dawson that kind of added, he just felt so comfortable to watch as a leading point guard, particularly on defense. And, of course, on offense, things for sure, in my opinion, to, like, work on. But, again, I really like Drew's comment in the post-presser about, hey, like, he kind of stepped up. He really fell into his role. And I do think, right, I don't have the breakdown here, but I do believe a majority of his 25 minutes were in the second half and OTs. And it was just phenomenal to see that, in my opinion. And kind of just a hope, right? Like, it, to be frank, Sheldon, Dez, Miles, and Jalen, for all the guys that, those are all the guys that played 20 minutes plus, are part of the 20 minutes plus. Those are the guys who get to come back next year if they decide to, right? Phil, Dez, or Phil, Brayden, Dame, and Pat not coming back next year. Even though I feel like Dame should get a year back with the whole Ivy thing, but that's another story. But that was kind of a highlight, honestly, to hear in the presser. For Drew to call that out, I really think is crucial just for, like, of a program stake. And it was just really it just really caught me off guard a little bit, I'll be honest. But really exciting to hear that, because you're like, yeah, you want JQ to get the minutes, because I think he can be that point guard, right? Bringing up the ball, helping out. So, again, something to just, like, look forward to. Again, the season's not over. We still got a game as we record. We're recording Tuesday, so we got a game tomorrow. But just something that really caught me off that I'm not going to really forget as we start thinking about next season. But, yeah. Oh, sorry, Buck. No, go.
No, I was just going to say, yeah, it's really cool, especially when Drew's complimenting his young guys. They did step up. I mean, like, Miles, you kind of goes without saying, but had a huge game, started off really hot, 12 points, 5 rebounds, 3 blocks. Like, him, like, Miles and JQ are honestly probably going to be two of the huge pieces going forward. Going into next year, like, what kind of growth can they have in these off seasons, or in this off season, right, the two of them? So, really looking forward to them taking that step forward. And JQ's got some big shoes to fill, but taking over a point guard spot. But I also think that he's such a different player than Brayden that it's almost like, yeah, you don't have to fill those shoes. Just be JQ. Like, you don't have to be Brayden Norris. No one's going to be Brayden Norris. But I think if he's the best version of himself, that's a solid starting point guard in the A-10. So, yeah, excited about those young guys moving forward, and excited to see if they can maybe show us a thing or two in the NIT as well. So, absolutely. Yeah, any other thoughts on Brooklyn, on the tournament? Anything else to share?
I had pretty good kicks, I'm not going to lie. I bought new kicks for this. I was inspired by Drew.
Okay.
Didn't really think about posting it, but again, it was cool to see. I don't know. It felt like this was a different tournament to get excited for, right? So I hope next year we get the same vibe, right? I think we should be behind this team all the way, but it really excited to see. Hopefully Loyola will finally switch the spring break now that it doesn't match with the tournament. We can get as many students as possible. It'll be fun. But, yeah, excited for that side. I think I saw a great contingent of Loyola fans. Wish we could have celebrated a little bit more, but I think no matter what, this season really was a great turnaround. And to quote Lucas Williamson, I saw the tweet next to her about it. This season put Loyola back in the map by putting kind of last year behind and be able to do what we did. So, again, hats off to Drew and team and everybody. No matter how the tournament ended, we still got a game to go, and we'll see how this NIT goes.
Yeah, yeah, definitely looking forward to it. So, yeah, unfortunately, as we said, dropped that game, but we were rewarded with a game in the or a position in the NIT tournament. Like I said kind of earlier, no stranger. We were there in our year after we made our Final Four run, and were able to play in that tournament. So, no stranger, and this just comes, I think, at a good time. I think at a good time for Rambler fans, because it really did feel like we deserve more basketball. I think it's kind of easy to say that, but this team is just so senior led that I think they want and deserve another opportunity to go win some games and compete for a championship, compete for a trophy. And that's what they're going to do. But before we get into like the whole Loyola Bradley thing, which, oh my gosh, it just sounds gross coming off my tongue. We could talk a little bit about some of the teams that, not really the teams, but that there were a number of teams that declined NIT bids. And just like, I don't know, I'm kind of curious. We talked about it a little bit before we started recording, but it's just like wild to me in general that there's that many teams. And, you know, I think there are a few decent reasons why a team might not accept a bid to the NIT. I think the one that goes without really, like, we don't have to talk too much about it, but it's just health. Like, if you don't have at least like 7 healthy bodies, like, there's no point to play in a game like that. Like, in an actual game, like, it's not worth it. If someone gets hurt, someone plays, you know, 40 minutes, that's only ever played 4 minutes, like, that's not healthy for them or anyone really. But yeah, I'm just curious, like, what your opinion is of all these teams. I think they're end up being like, what, like 13 or 12 or something like that, that declined NIT bids, and yeah, how you feel about that and what that means for, I don't know, college basketball or just like the NIT as a whole.
Yeah, I think honestly, for me, I just want to plug them. I have to, is even though we might end up playing them, it kind of almost starts with the tournament selection. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're not a college, if you disagree, I'm going to be selfish here and say you're not a college basketball fan, because it's confusing as what our metrics are. But Indiana State should be in the tournament based off metrics, right? If we're saying the net ranking is like a really key denominator, even if KenPom, who's I'm pretty sure does not work for the NCAA tournament, even though I feel like the entirety of the NCAA basketball relies on KenPom, mm-hmm. It's kind of confusing. Like, I am a little confused on that whole selection committee. Throw out names, Michigan State, like, I get it, Izzo has a history, but it shouldn't really be about the, like, program. It should be about what team is on the court right now. So that for me has confused me, and I think that has led to, like, this whole NIT thing of people backing out. It's like a weird mix, Buck. Like, some teams it feels like they're backing out just out of spite, right? Like, I feel like that's what St. John's is doing. They're like, well, if we're not doing the NCAA tournament, well, there's nothing better for us to do. And I was like, well, the NIT used to always finish in Madison Square Garden. That would have been cool for St. John's being local, but they weren't. And then it's like the idea that kids can just transfer the day after selections. It's like, that doesn't help a program, I feel. Now, again, I get it, right? You see that in college football. Guys will step away from the bowl games. Like, bowl games are just now like second string and freshmen in some cases, right? Or guys trying to make a team name for themselves, who knows, right? So it's weird. I think college basketball, one, still needs to figure out its transfer rules and all that. I feel like that's a huge weird impact that to some coaches they can just lean on as an excuse, and to some it might actually scare them, right? An example, right, you see that with St. John's potentially, other coaches said it. But then you look at Alabama, who is going to the NCAA tournament, just got a recruit today in the transfer portal. So it's like this weird balance of, like, what does it mean for everyone? I find it tough, Buck. So, yeah, again, you definitely, as we're recording, even Providence, for a coach who we don't really use vulgarity on this podcast, but he pretty much gave his full heart of how he felt about metrics and analytics. Mm-hmm. And Providence just lost to BC. They only played 6 players, though. Is that because they only had 6 players that wanted to play? who knows, right? I don't know. I haven't read anything. I don't know if it was told that, yeah, only six guys actually wanted to play. So, yeah. And then lastly, I'll say, Buck, then we can. I would love for you to, like, either reversal on this. But, like, in our situation, right, we have seniors. Majority of our team are seniors. We had a horrible season last year. So to be able to even, like, consider that NIT, I think that's massive. And then also I feel like, come on, give these guys, like, extra games. Like, especially the seniors, right?
Yeah.
Or Drew, like, maybe, like, I know Jaden is officially out for tomorrow. But if you keep fighting, maybe Jaden gets back healthy next week and gets him time, right? So I think it's definitely going to be a weird thing that NCAA needs to adjust. But Buck, I don't think the NCAA tournament is ruined. I don't think the NIT is ruined. I just think because of media, it might just get blown out of proportion. But I definitely think there is something there to discuss. And I don't know if you, what your feelings or your retribution against my points are, but let's hear them.
No, I think the one thing I keep coming back to, and, like, of course I'm going to relate this to my own coaching.
Oh, that's right. We have a coach on the pod. That's right. Rick Pitino has joined us. Oh, no.
Yeah. No, I'm not defending him. No, but, like, I don't know if I just have a really good group of players and, like, our staff just all thinks the same way. But, like, if you have a chance to go play for a championship, okay, you don't want to call it a championship, a trophy, right, a first place, whatever you want to call it. Like, all of us are just, like, myself, like, I'm in, the only thing I can think about is, like, let me go win a championship. Like, I am going to put everything I have into, like, going to win this, because at the end of the day, like, that's why we do this. That's why you play a game, is so you can win, right? Like, ultimately, like, yeah, there's a lot of other good reasons, building relationships, teaching lessons, whatever, list could go on, but, like, at the end of the day, you don't lace them up. Like, you don't tip a ball if you don't want to have a winner. So, like, I can't imagine not wanting to go try to win this with, like I said, seven healthy players at least. And if you can afford it. Like, I get it. If your school can't afford it, then I understand. Like, the NIT, like, it does... I believe it costs money. It costs money to host a game, I think. So in that case, but like every D1 school, maybe not every, 98% of D1 schools are going to be able to afford what that costs in order to get fans in the seats to have a game. So like beyond that though, the one thing you said, like, and I know you're not defending this, so this isn't me coming for you, but like the whole like recruiting argument, like I think that's dumb. Like, that's just like some coach speak for sure. Like, oh yeah, we're focusing on the portal, and then you can have a transfer come in and go on a visit and be like, see, like we got you in here because we're focused on you, and we didn't go to the NIT because we're focused on Joe Smith. Like that, it, that's such like a, I don't know. I think it's baloney because at the end of the day, like I still think that at least the players I would want to have play for me would care more about their potential future team going to win a championship or a trophy and come to a program where they just came off winning something and then the expectation is like to continue to win. So to say like you can't recruit, especially it's 2024, like you see, everyone sees on Twitter, on X, like every single minute there's another kid in the portal. Like you can go online and get all the transfer if they're in the portal. Like you can get their information, to reach out, to call them, to FaceTime, like whatever you want to do, and just say, hey, we're playing for a championship right now, but you know, as soon as we're done, like you'll be number one on our priority list. Like I think that excuse, that one makes me upset because as a coach, I think I can just kind of see through that. Like, we care about recruiting and it's important, but there are just a lot of other ways to, like, you don't have to sacrifice playing games in order to recruit well or effectively. So, other than that, like, I think I agree with, like, everything else you said. I think it's really cool for our group, like, specifically a group of six, seven seniors, whatever it is, to be able to go and try to do something special together, to see someone like Jaden potentially get healthy and be able to play some key minutes in like an important game, like potentially in the next week or so. Like that would be really cool. And just to send these seniors out on a good note, and like Lucas Williams said, like, they put us back on the map, so like, let's go win some games in March and do what all the Ramblers of new or the Ramblers of late know how to do, and that's win in March. So yeah, I don't know, just a crazy predicament. And agreed, like, the NIT is not in any danger. There's always going to be 32 teams that want to go win, like, play in a championship, especially, it's still undoubtedly the second best postseason tournament. So, like, I really don't think it's going anywhere. And the NCAA tournament, yeah, no, it's, like, that's silly to even talk about it being in any sort of trouble. So, yeah, I don't know. Any last thoughts, or do we want to, unfortunately, talk about our opponent, which is the Braves from Peoria?
Yeah, let's talk about them. Let's talk about how bad.
All right.
Oh, just if side note, as we get prepared for this, NIT purposely did a lot of these games. If you look at it, there are a lot of teams that are like, yeah. NIT is just like, let's just stir the pot round one. Yeah, I think, what is it? Richmond is playing Virginia Tech, which is, like, I get it. Yeah. Also, it's location because you play at that school, so they are trying to make it close. So it just makes sense as well. So, like, that was just funny to see, though. For me at least, like, yeah, majority of these games are like, hey, we're doing it because it's close, but us playing Bradley, oh, it's the only other school I was really actually hoping for, let's just get into it, but, or not hoping for, but I was thinking, would be Butler. I don't know about you, Buck, but I was like, oh, Butler, probably just because it's right there, like Indianapolis, us.
Yeah,
I thought maybe Minnesota would be Bradley, but yeah, we're playing the Bradley Braves.
Yeah,
I didn't think I would be saying that in a not a non-conference game context. Granted, though, I don't think Drew would ever look to play or schedule a home v home, home and away contract with them, just because of how much I do think Drew hates Peoria, because last time we were there, not so many nice things happened. Again, he can come correct me. I know he listens here. But Buck, were you shocked? I wasn't. I don't know about you, but were you shocked? Were you ecstatic? What's the gut feeling?
No, not really shocked. I mean, like, it makes sense. Like, I get it. Like, and I think us and Bradley have had extremely similar seasons, just in terms of like wins and losses, and like, yeah, they finished third, we finished second. They had a couple pretty decent teams in their conference, so in Indiana State and Drake, who are both very solid. So that part doesn't really surprise me. I would say the thing that actually surprises me more is, like, I'm kind of going through their roster right now, and three of their top four players are players that I, like, really remember. And I know that they probably remember, you know, Braden and Tom. Well, they better remember Tom. But seeing Connor Hickman, who is their leading scorer, who I believe was at least all freshman our last season, which was his freshman year. And then Malevi Lyons, which he had just transferred in, I believe.
I believe so as well.
I think he was a JUCO kid, something like that. He's like their third leading scorer and top rebounder. And then Darius Hanna as well. I do remember him. He got some spot minutes our last year in the Valley, but I remember him either like playing super well, like in spot minutes, or having like a couple really big moments, and just being like, oh yeah, this dude, like, he's going to be good someday. And he's had a really, really solid year for them, averaging 11.5 points and, over 6 rebounds. So, yeah, it looks like they have some familiar faces. I don't know if you had any thoughts just kind of leading into that matchup or anything.
No, I thought Connor Hickman had been there for like 8 years. I don't know why.
Yeah, right? Feeling,
but he's only a junior, which is crazy to me. We know and we don't know this team, in my opinion, right? We happen to know these players. Not like we've been scouting them all year as well, so I think that's kind of an interesting thought. I think we'll know what type of atmosphere we'll be playing down there, for sure. So the only thing is that's interesting, they did play Duquesne, and Duquesne beat them. So, like, I think that'd be interesting. I'm assuming that's film tape that Drew will, like, look for. Also, probably look for, again, they had some just interesting games, but really nothing that really jumps to the page like us, right? They did beat UAB, which is, again, a tournament team. So that's a really interesting one. So maybe that's a game. And then they did beat Utah State, which is was up there, of course, for another. Now I'm blanking. They're not in the tournament, I believe, right? No, they are. Yeah, Utah State's an ACC.
I think they did. Yeah, they made it.
Yeah. So exactly. So yeah, because Utah State was the one seed in the Mountain West. So those are two tournament teams right there. So like again, we've played Duquesne, so we got a similar opponent in one game, and then two teams that are in the NCAA tournament. So I do think they are a very similar schedule, like you said, to us, right? And they, again, had two teams in their conference that were poised for NCAA tournament, and two teams should have been, honestly, like kind of us with Dayton. And in my opinion, another team could have been there, and even maybe potentially another one if you really looked at it. But, yeah, I think Bradley is going to be interesting. This team that we have, I think, can – really spread the floor maybe a lot more with them. But Buck, I don't know. Is there a concern you have with Bradley? How do we feel? Kind of thing going in. Let's see. Does Ken Pom has them winning. Game, I believe.
Yeah. The one thing I kind of notice like right away is they start like three forwards, only two guards. Like, I don't really, you know, one could be kind of a wing, I guess. I mean, from what I remember, Malevi Leons is like a four, and Darius Hanna is a four as well. Not really true post players. And then their last starter is a freshman who's 6'8", so it doesn't really seem like he's a true post either. But definitely something to look towards. I think Miles will be fine. I don't really see an issue, especially like guarding stretch fours is really not an issue for him. Phil guarding a stretch four or like a, you know, some undersized post, like definitely not going to be an issue. But it's that third person, like who's going to guard, who's that? Like they have 6'9", 6'8", and 6'9". So, you know, are we going to maybe shake up the starting lineup a bit? Like, I don't know, but starting, like, Braden's obviously going to guard one of their guards, and then probably Sheldon. So, like, Dez then guards, like, one of the wings or stretch fours or whatever. So, yeah, not too sure what Drew's going to do there. I mean, we do have, like, options off the bench, and seeing maybe, like, Tom get some more minutes, being that he's more of a, I don't know, agile post player too. Like I could see that. And if we could get a replay of Tom's awesome dunk in the last Missouri Valley Conference tournament we played in, like that'd be cool. I just think with a game like this, like Braden and Tom and company, Will Smythe, like anyone who's been here since the Valley, just probably going to do a really good job of telling their teammates, like, nah, like, this is an important one. Like, you guys do not understand. Like, this is a rivalry game. I mean, Lucas Williamson on Twitter said that he hates Bradley. Like, like it's just different. And I, you know, the stats are one thing, but I just kind of feel like this is a game where you just, like, throw the stats out the window. Like, this could be, like, a 48-46 game. Like, I really think okay. that it could just be, like, a rock fight. Like, and our defense is good. I don't really know how good their defense is, but I assume it's decent. Like, Bradley usually plays pretty good defense. So, yeah, I'm not, like, that's not my, like, final score predictor. I just, like, I could see a style of game like that where it's just, like, every single possession is just a fight in and of itself. But,
yeah, no, I think.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I love your point about, like, this game meaning stuff. Again, how many times can we watch the clip of Lucas Williamson saying to Tom Welch, I didn't know you could get that high. And again, I have a quote from someone at the tournament. They were like, does Tom Welch ever sit down? And I do think this game comes with an intensity. And not only Drew might have this intensity, but to just let the guys know, like, we just don't really want to lose. Like, it's not about how much we dislike Bradley. I feel like this is how much a win could just feel great to against Bradley, right? And again, I think it's mm-hmm. the same for Bradley. How many NBC programs are like, oh, Loyola's leaving the Valley. They think they're better. And again, they want it as much as we do. So I think that's just what it is. I think it'd be a very different game if we were playing a team that, like, didn't care to be in the NIT, and they're like, we're just here to play, yeah. right? Like, both these programs want to fight to win, and I think it's just a cherry on top that it is Bradley v. Loyola. I think if it was Bradley versus Minnesota, us versus Butler, I might have maybe some, like, recruiting things, and, yeah, it could impact stuff like that. But the fact that it's Bradley, I think this game means a lot more to these programs than maybe it might just read in a box score. Or on KenPom. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, excited, nervous a little bit, I'm not going to lie. But I think this team is a little bit of a different team even that we had 2 years ago last time we played Bradley. But I do think there's things we could take from that team for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be a fun one. I really do. I personally hope it's a close game. Like, I hope this is the sort of game where it's just the opposite of how our Bonaventure game went. Like, that's the kind of game that's going to hurt more, you know, like, that's the kind of, I'm not trying to be, like, mean or anything, but, like, I want it to hurt for Bradley. I really do. Like, I don't have any ill will. Like, we're gone. Like, I don't know. I haven't thought about Bradley in 2 years. I'm not trying to say that to be, like, that guy. Like, I really have not thought about Bradley in 2 years. Like, I thought about Northwestern a lot. I've thought about DePaul probably more than I should. Like, UIC, I've even thought about more. Like, Bradley, like, I don't know, you could, I'm like Phil Alston's mom, like, you could be like, hey, where's Bradley? Like, I don't remember.
I think Bradley, but, yeah. Twitter has had us not forget them. I think you're right. I think it's been crazy to be like, oh, look, we're back. But I also think it's kind of now just like, hey, we can go do something that would just be fun to do, right? So
yeah, definitely. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I'm pumped. It's tomorrow or Wednesday, whenever you listen to this.
Yep.
At 6 p.m. is when the game is. So I hope. I saw that, like, Loyola was trying to get, like, a bus to go down with some students. I think it was, like, $20 or, like, $15 or something. Like, it wasn't even anything crazy. And it's, like, bus ride, ticket, and meal included. So hopefully they're able to get a decent contingent going down there and cheering on our guys. But, yeah, I don't know. Do you have any other thoughts about our NIT game, about the tournament, anything you want to get in here?
I think I would just add on to what you're saying. If you can go, please go. I'm trying to pull up the email. I believe Brian Day sent it out. I think it's actually only like $20.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's a good deal.
Yeah, and again, it's 2 hours away, but like, hey, leave early. Don't get stuck in traffic. Leave early. I think it'd be great to see fans there, and I think we could easily get a good contingent of people out there for sure. So no, excited, and again, I can't wait to watch our Ramblers keep on playing.
Yeah, if you are going down there to Bradley, make sure to cheer loud, cheer proud, and don't get in any fights. Like, I've heard that Bradley fans are all up being crazy, saying crazy things. It's really not worth it. But make sure to bring home a win. That's more important, far more important. But I think that's gonna do it then here from Buck and Lou. We are definitely gonna, we'll have like wrap ups of the season at some point. Hopefully it's not for like another couple weeks, if I'm being honest, with if we just keep winning. But at some point we'll definitely we'll just be back next week after we've won a couple games. So we don't even have to get there yet. But we will definitely, this won't be the last episode no matter what. Thank you all for listening. And don't forget, always remember, go Blurs.